So let us pray before this message. Lord, we pray that you will give us the boldness to do what it will take to make life better and more enjoyable for our brothers and sisters. God, give us a message this morning that will change our lives, that will inspire us, and that will lead us to go out into the world changing and inspiring others. Lord, may these words not be mine, but may they be yours. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So the first mistake that we may make is to think that being bold has to be done in huge, in front of everybody's faces way. Maybe, you know, on TV or in the papers or out on the streets making, you know, a big noise. And certainly that's bold. That would work. But that's not the only thing that we're being called to do. It's not just about being done in huge and news-making ways. Sometimes it does, but not always. Each one of us has individual moments in our lives, in everyday life, where we have an opportunity to show a little bit of boldness that will improve somebody's life. In that moment, we have a decision to make. Will we be bold and do something that will make somebody's life better? Or will we let the fear of embarrassment or failure get in our way? And we'll get to the more serious stuff in a moment, but we're going to bring this down a little bit right now because this can be as simple as somebody's in a bad mood. Do I tell this joke or not? Because I have the power, perhaps, with the right joke at the right time to put a smile on their face. Am I bold enough to tell the joke? So like I said, these don't always have to be big, country, world-changing moments. These are also the small, individual moments that might just be one-on-one, but still you have an opportunity to improve somebody's life, to make somebody smile who's in a bad mood, to make somebody laugh who's having a bad day. Yes, the big moments are important too, very important. But the small ones are where you may make a one-on-one difference in somebody's life. So, in high school, I was in the drama club. You've got to be pretty bold in drama club, right? However, I was trying to find ways to be the least amount bold as possible. Like, I'll be an extra on the stage. You tell me how to move my body, and I'll move it that way. Don't ask me to waltz, but, you know, I can, like, do a couple steps, that kind of thing. I don't need lines. I certainly don't need a microphone. And I'll be fine. We'll all be fine. That's actually where Sherry and I met, and I have no idea how, because I never said a word to anybody. Maybe that's it. Maybe that was the key. Just don't say anything. You can't make anybody upset, right? So that's actually where we met, in the drama club in high school. And as I found out, though, that my career was going in a way that I had not imagined, I wanted to start small, stay small. But I kind of started small and grew a little bit. I was just part of the light crew for Grease. You couldn't even see me. I was way up there, and all you could see was my spotlight. Well, I moved down after that to being on stage, actually, for Cinderella. But then I actually started getting speaking roles. I was Uncle Wes in Footloose, and I was Uncle Henry in The Wizard of Oz, so I was in uncle training very early, way before Joey and Olivia came, even before Marcus came. But the moment of boldness I have for you this morning came during my time in Cinderella. I had no speaking role. I was exactly where I wanted to be. They had other plans. So I'm sure you are all familiar with the story of Cinderella. She lives with her evil stepmother and evil stepsisters. They treat her horribly. There's a prince, Prince Charming, looking for a wife, so he holds a ball to hopefully find that wife, because apparently you can do that in a matter of minutes. And, you know, the stepmother and the stepsisters, they go to the ball, they get all decked out, they go to the ball and leave Cinderella home, so they thought. But Cinderella has a fairy godmother who gives her a beautiful dress and a one-of-a-kind escort to the ball. And Cinderella enters the ballroom and the whole world stops, and like it's just the two of them, and then they waltz. And of course, it's Disney, the clock strikes midnight, everything starts disappearing, and she goes back to the way she was, except she left one important thing behind, the glass slipper on the stair. So Prince Charming picks up the slipper, he wants to find this girl, and he goes throughout the entire kingdom looking for the one person who would fit in this glass slipper. Well, in our play, somebody had the bright idea that while Prince Charming is trying this glass slipper on all the girls in the kingdom, that one of the guys should put on a wig and try on the slipper too. And I was like, okay, that's a chuckle, no problem. And then he said, I got it. It should be Dave. I said, excuse me, what? That the whole drama club chimed in and said, oh, that is the funniest possible person to do this. Nobody really knows. I was kind of like quiet, and quiet is mysterious, right? So I would be the last person that you would think would do this. And I politely said, no, absolutely not. No way, not in a million years. I absolutely will not do it. And then the drama teacher came to me and said, Dave, the audience will love it. And so I had a decision to make. Will I let the fear of undoubtedly the most embarrassing moment of my life get in the way of perhaps making this moment in the play go from good to great? Or will I be bold enough to do what we all are pretty sure the audience would love? Fine. Just give me the wig before I change my mind. And so we did a rehearsal, and I was the only one who made it through the scene because the rest of them were on the floor laughing. And I said, you know what? That's worth it. That moment where the whole place is on the floor laughing is worth it. So fine, I'll do it. That moment was talked about as perhaps the funniest part of the entire play. But you too can be in a situation like that at any time. Like I said, it doesn't have to be this big news-making, world-changing event. We are all given these small moments to make individual moments in people's lives better. But what would happen if we were too afraid to say yes? That was a small, funny for some, I suppose, example. But Catherine is going to teach you now about an example from the Bible that was much more serious, with thousands of lives, an entire race of people, in fact, at stake, and a woman who had a decision to make, to be bold or to let fear control her.
On day two of VBS, we learned what it means to be bold. Like Rev said, sometimes those are very small and funny moments, like looking at Angelica's sock or thinking about Rev in a wig trying on a glass slipper. This little robot alien here knows a lot about boldness too. All the rest of us came here in cars parked out in the parking lot and walked in through the door, but Zippy came in boldly every day. Zippy came flying in on a spaceship. He didn't let the fear of crashing stop him, and he did crash most of the time. Being bold means not being afraid to go above and beyond. Queen Esther went above and beyond to protect her people. The king had made a law that everyone in the kingdom should bow down to the man to a man named Haman, who was given a very special and important role in the kingdom. Esther's cousin, Mordecai, refused to bow down to Haman. Haman was so angry about it that he didn't just want to destroy Mordecai, he wanted to destroy every Jew in the kingdom. Haman convinced the king to announce that 10,000 talents of silver will be given to the person who destroys all the Jews. Esther was also Jewish, and her people turned to her for help. She had a decision to make. Would she be bold enough to go and talk to the king, or would she let fear get in her way and let her people get destroyed? Of course, Esther was bold enough to go up to the king. That was also illegal. Anyone who went up to the king without permission could be given a death penalty, but Esther boldly did it anyway. She convinced the king to change his mind about, and all by herself, she saved an entire race of people.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, so just like last week, Catherine is going to teach you some sign language now.
So it's to go beyond with boldness, right?
So the second day was go beyond with boldness.
Okay. All right, let's try it one more time.
Go beyond with boldness.
Yes, bold hands. Right? Thank you, Catherine. All right. Friends, how is God calling you to be bold? Are there people near you who need a strong advocate the way that the Jews needed Esther to be a strong advocate for them? Are there people in power doing unethical and terrible things to innocent people? Has someone lied to get away with something that they've done? These things, unfortunately, do happen. In each of those circumstances, when we are around them, we have a decision to make. Will we be bold enough to bring justice for those who have been hurt and silenced, or will we remain silent and allow their oppression to continue? And as we have been saying for a couple months now, God isn't calling us just to do the bare minimum. God is calling us to go above and beyond all normal expectations. Esther could have just tried to save Mordecai, her cousin, the one person that she's related to. She could have just tried to save her family and friends, just the ones closest to her. But that would have only been doing the bare minimum. She could have tried to negotiate that only a percentage of Jews would be destroyed. That would be doing, that's a little bit better, right? 50%. Is better than just one person or a small family. But even that wasn't enough for her. For her, it was all or nothing. And that is bold. That is going above and beyond. Lord, help us be bold enough to go above and beyond in service to you and to your children. Give us strength and courage in amounts that only you can provide. We pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.